Gavrilik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it. Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Mick Warner with Mark Robinson. And Robbo, who would have thought, with Victoria being the dirty state for 15 months, that suddenly the heartland, Melbourne, is most likely to have all 18 clubs, at least 16 of them, based here for the foreseeable future so we can keep season 2021 rolling along?
Yeah, that's shaping up. Are you a bit crooked today, buddy?
Yeah, I got a little bit of a sniffle. That's why I'm at home.
Do you go and do the right thing. Do you go and get a test?
Absolutely, yeah. What about yourself? Have you been vaccinated yet?
Yeah, I've got my first jab. I've been for one test. So,
AstraZeneca family, or Pfizer?
AstraZeneca.
Well, you are a pretty old man.
Well, yeah, I feel it sometimes too, but... We didn't get a choice. How long you've had this? So seriously, did you go and get tested when you got this pretty deep sort of flu?
Does it sound bad? Does it? I've had it for about 2 hours, and yes, I've been tested. I'm awaiting my results.
Yeah, that's good. Well, back to Victoria. Yeah, man. I suppose we were the laughing stock, and the finger pointed at us for so long, and probably quite rightly so. And right now, Victoria looks like it's going to be the saviour of football.
What happens if there's COVID in Melbourne, though?
Well, if there's COVID in Melbourne, mate, the competition will probably come to the standstill.
No, I think you could play games without crowds for a period of time. And they get exemptions.
Yeah, we can. Tasmania might come into the party as well, Mick. And they might be the great saviour of football.
Yeah, actually, I did you see that footage of Colin Carter and Gil McLaughlin out the front of a cafe in South Yarra yesterday handing over the Carter Report?
They're calling it the Carter Report. No, I didn't see that. I did see footage of Gil having a press conference.
No, but I'm interested in how... I think Tom Brown it was who had the cameras there. How did Tom Brown know that Colin Carter and Gil were having lunch at a cafe in, I think it was High Street or Malvern Road, Paran?
I don't know, mate. You'd have to ask Tom Brown that. But from that, that's where Gil had his hastily organised press conference. It looked like he hadn't slept for 3 days.
He did a press conference, did he? Yeah, there.
Just unshaven. But he had to. I mean, it's just moving really quickly. It's like what's the time now? It's 12:15 Tuesday. At this stage yesterday, Brisbane were told that they'd be on a plane Wednesday to fly to Melbourne and then fly to Adelaide on Saturday for the game and hopefully fly back to Brisbane that night. 24 hours on, the whole climate has changed in regards to that. The Suns and the Lions are on a plane today, Tuesday, to fly to Melbourne. The Adelaide game still might go ahead, but they're certainly evacuating southeast Queensland. The Gold Coast Suns are playing Richmond on Thursday night. That was supposed to be at Metricon Stadium. That'll probably be at Damien Hardwick's least favoured ground, I would think, Marvel Stadium.
Do you think that compromises the season a little bit?
No, of course
inch
it does.
By inch. So Richmond are in a world of pain and suddenly they get another home game, even though it might be at Marvel. just inch by inch. Giants lost to Hawthorn, but that should have been up at Giants Stadium at the weekend. And so
Fremantle Carlton as well, Mick. Like Fremantle, West Coast have flown out of Western Australia today. I haven't got an update yet on where Fremantle is, but you'd have to think that the Fremantle Carlton game, with Melbourne. West Australia in lockdown, that'll be changed. And they're talking about compromising the season. That's a home game for Fremantle.
Yeah.
Fremantle is still striving to play finals. And now they've got to give away a home game. They might have to give away a home game and play Carlton over here. It has to be at a venue that it can't be at Marvel, Carlton's home game. It just can't be. And I don't think it should be at the MCG either. I think
Geelong,
they should play
it to Geelong.
Geelong or Ballarat.
Ballarat, my God. The season, the talk, some are saying, oh, well, we could have this footy frenzy and back to 16-minute quarters. In my view, you can't do that. Once you've started the season with a certain set of rules, you have to continue. You know, someone was saying, well, you bring the medical sub can be on the rotations straight away. That wouldn't be satisfactory as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I can see your point there, but, I mean, we are in strange times and sometimes you just have to make adjustments. If they went into a footy frenzy and had, if they did, and I'm not saying that they are doing that, I'm sure it's been drawn up as a possibility, but the rules change, Mick. I mean, unfortunately, if the rules change in playing games every 4 days, we still got to look after the main people in this, and that's the players. It's easy to say, let's not change the rules, but if they're playing a game every 4 days, I'd have no issue whatsoever in reducing the quarters to 18 minutes just to try and, you know, save the players at this stage of the season. But it's all up in the air. You know, Gillon McLachlan said yesterday, the plans are that it's all going to, you know, go ahead the same this weekend, but in 24 hours, it's all changed. Who knows what's going to happen by 24 hours tomorrow?
Well, one team that didn't need a home game brought back to Victoria to show their dominance was the Western Bulldogs, led by Air Norton and Bontempelli. Luke Beveridge, you know, for the last 2 or 3 years, he's been criticised heavily by the so-called experts in the media for chopping and changing his selection. You know, if you're showing a hint of being out of form, he'd drop you. He moves players around. But you'd have to say, with one premiership already against his name and now this powerful-looking team, that Bevo knew what he was doing all along.
I think most coaches know what they're doing all along, mate.
And no, I don't think they do, actually. Coaches who don't know have any idea what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, how can you possibly say that?
They get sacked, Robbo.
But there are coaches out there who've got no idea what they're doing.
That's a bit harsh. It's a bit harsh. I'm not going to win the award.
They're senior AFL coaches.
Okay, there are a lot of coaches who don't have the capabilities of someone like Luke Beveridge.
He's a man of his convictions. He coaches with conviction. He'll do it his way. He's accused of being stubborn. But one thing that Luke Beveridge has been able to do is stand by his decisions. Now, the decision we're talking about, you know, Ann Norton, moving to centre-half back. You've got massive holes down there. Beveridge, no. I'm going to keep Norton up the front. I think earlier this year, Doug Hawkins said he could be the best. He could be the All-Australian defender. And Luke Beveridge, to give him credit, he never puts anyone down. He goes, yeah, he probably could be. But I'm playing him forward. And guess what? Right now, Aaron Norton might be the most devastating key forward in the game. I'm actually writing about him today, and it's really interesting, Mick, with Aaron Norton. I'm calling it the curse of the next pick. St Kilda took Billings ahead of Bontempelli, and Bont was the next pick. And then in 2017, St Kilda had picks 6-7, and they took Hunter Clark and Nick Caulfield, two halfback flankers. And pick 8 was Aaron Norton. Now, St Kilda, remember, took Paddy McCartan above Christian Petrarca. Now, let me just put this to you, Mick. If St Kilda if St Kilda chose wiser, they could have had Petrarca, Bontempelli, and Aaron Norton in their squad. Okay, yes. So this is the curse of the next pick. Teams will be tampering with the draft to make sure they follow St Kilda in the first round in future years.
It does remind me of Franklin and Pavlich at Richmond missed out. They went for Tambling and Fiora. But, mate, that's a bit, yeah.
No, it's a bit
what? Hindsight's a beautiful thing.
Well, hindsight's fact, mate. St Kilda could have had Bontempelli, and St Kilda had two choices before Aaron Norton. And they would have been weighing up at the time. Do we take two halfback flankers, or do we take one halfback flanker and the big guy from the west, where Aaron Norton played? He was a Peel Thunder lad, I think. So the curse of the next pick is very real for St Kilda. And Aaron Norton is showing himself to be. I reckon, mate, there's a lot of differences. There's not a lot of differences in midfields. You know, most of the top teams have got really, really gun midfielders. But you need forwards to really expose the opposition defences. And I think the Bulldogs have a weapon in Aaron Norton. If they go all the way this year, Aaron Norton could have an unbelievably important September.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Their back line is still probably their weakness, you would say, given compared to their midfield and their forward line, whereas Melbourne, who are probably going to be right up there, their back line is just how good was Stephen May the other night? You know, that kid, when he was criticised for, remember he had the beer, he had one beer and it was a disaster.
Arrived heavy from the sun.
Yeah, so I remember someone saying, you never put all your salary cap in the back line. Well, Lever and May are just absolute freaks. Just one and last
not
one.
Just on the... that, not just that, the one person that's come in and not getting a lot of credit is Petty.
Yeah,
he came in for Adam Tomlinson, and you probably still got an All-Australian in Christian Salem on back half.
Definitely.
And the boy from he's not a boy, but the man from Frankston, he went from Essendon to Melbourne. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Hibbard.
Michael Hibbard. He's become their real troubleshooter. He takes that mid forward player where they go into the centre bounds and then drift forward. He's picking that person up on the weekend. Hibbard took Stringer. Stringer started off really well early. Simon Goodwin said that they'd lost Stringer in the handover, but then they got that right and Stringer didn't really have a major influence on the game, but Hibbard's become really important. But you're right about the Melbourne defence. Let me ask you about their attack, though. Do you keep Sam Wiedemann there? Do you play Ben Brown? We're clearly not playing Ben Brown for a reason. And I wonder if it's because his ability to defend on the deck. And Melbourne really, really worked on their forward defence over summer. And I wonder if Ben Brown's inability to defend is keeping him out of the team.
Yeah, definitely. And that disrupts the game plan that they sort of almost not stumbled across, but they, you know, once they change things with Uze coming in, maybe the Ben Brown thing. Well, he's on a lot of money, though. Do you think he could be moved on at the end of the year? And so who moved would pick on. Him up?
Imagine that.
Well, if he's not going to get a game all year, why would he stay? And then Wiedemann can't get a game either. It's interesting because Bulldogs' defence is their weakness, and you'd probably say Melbourne's forward line is, well, it's not a weakness, but they've got those players that they can't pick in. The other guys, I thought, it's fascinating when it rains, it pours for the Dogs. They've got Jamara, the number one pick, and then now you hear that Luke Darcy's son is
Stan.
Who they'll get. Is a gun as well. So they're in great position, the Bulldogs, and it's never, ever concerned me as a supporter to see the Bulldogs going well, Robbo.
No, we I suppose that's a patronising feel. But they play exciting. They play really exciting football. Like if you're a neutral and you turn the turbo on, the Dogs are playing. You think, good, oh, beauty. Yeah, beauty. This will be an exciting game. And Marcus Bontempelli is the best player in the game.
That's it. But you know, the other guy, I think we're pretty quick to take that mantle off Dustin Martin. Just quietly.
But you can only take it off on performances, mate.
Well, if he's carrying something,
Well, we can also.
I think his body of work is ahead of Marcus Bontempelli still, and he's not coming down the other side of the mountain just yet. So, no, anyway.
I wish you bloody Richmond people stop getting so defensive about everything. And I mean it, mate.
If they were lined up in the schoolyard, you were going to take Bontempelli ahead of Dustin Martin, no?
Right now?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
To play next week, I'll be taking Marcus Bontempelli. Right now. Now, the body of work of Dustin Martin is in dispute. It's in dispute, mate. He's one of the greatest players.
In dispute or indisputable?
Indisputable. He's one of the greatest players of all time. We know what Dustin Martin has done in the competition, but Marcus Bontempelli this year, his performances have gone past Dustin Martin's performances this year. You can't deny that, mate.
That doesn't make him the number one player in the game. Just means he's in form. Anyway.
He's been in form. He's been in pretty good form for a time. Bont, you know, but I mean, these things all change.
They're subjective. They mean nothing. The Dogs go on
to win the flag. You know, Bontempelli's got 2 flags at 25. He's probably going to win the Brownlow medal. It just goes to that elite level. That's all.
He is. And, that's round 16.
Everyone's wrapped for Bontempelli. He plays a very fair game. He doesn't whinge. He got the captaincy and probably struggled with it early, and everyone was all over him. Not everyone, but you know, some people in the media saying, "Oh, he's not ready, and he's doing this wrong, and he's doing this wrong," and he's come out the other side brilliantly, absolutely brilliantly. So, yeah, he might win the most popular player too, I reckon.
MVP, yeah, he'd win that. What about Carlton, Robbo? It's this week you've got Jeff Walsh, who was at Collingwood. I thought it was interesting they picked Jeff Walsh on that panel, given that the football department that he most recently left was in disarray, Collingwood. Then they had Pavlich from Perth, who did the Adelaide review, but, you know, he's reading the news these days. I don't know how much he's actually involved in footy. And then they had Graham Lowe from the Western Bulldogs. But I tend to agree with this commentary that the timing of it, to have these people on the ground in your footy club the Monday morning after you have a pretty good win against Adelaide, is it too soon to have this extensive review with 8-9 rounds to go?
Yeah, it's a really interesting discussion. Ben Dixon at Fox Footy really put it on the agenda on Sunday night when he said, this is just not right. It's not right. They shouldn't be doing this at the time. Whether you believe Carlton should or will make finals, the fact that they're still in the hunt to make finals, and then suddenly...
Well, they're not in the hunt to play finals.
Well, while they're a mathematical chance, right, they're going to strive to play finals football, mate. Right? Yeah. It's not whether they're going to make it or not. It's what the club and the coaching staff are trying to do. And then suddenly it's righto, everyone, you got to take time out this week and speak to these people about your issues at the club. Please tell the truth. No point having a review if no one's telling the truth. So their focus is going to be taken away from what their core business is. Now, the calling of the review came after a couple of poor games. I think it was what was the game where the opposition...
West Coast game, wasn't it?
Yeah, the West Coast game. They're absolutely decimated and they got beaten. And Luke Sayers, the incoming president, said, right, we're going to have this review, but we're bringing it forward. But the results aren't going to be determined or announced till closer to the end of the season. So you think, why didn't they wait?
I think they wanted to be seen to be doing something to their supporter base, which has been starved of success of any kind, really, since 1995. They made a grand final in 99, but it's been 20 years. And I think it was a bit knee-jerk, to be honest. But they've committed to it. Be fascinating to see.
Have you got your mates who barrack for Carlton?
There are plenty. Come from a Carlton family.
I've got plenty of mates who barrack for Carlton, and I was talking to my accountant last night. All right, Ferris.
Yeah, he'd be busy after all that money you won at Caulfield on the weekend with your horse.
Ferris was talking to me. I was talking to him about accounting, and all he wanted to do was talk to me about Carlton. He's a Carlton supporter.
He does charge by the minute, you know that.
Yeah, but he kept on trying to say to me, "You people, you don't understand what it's like to barrack for this football club," and the frustration levels in him.
You would. You're an Essendon supporter. You've lived it, and Richmond support people have lived it. We've talked about this. The death spiral. That's not unique to Carlton.
No, they've been in it for a long, long time, but they've just had enough. So I don't think Carlton people, I don't think Carlton fans are upset that they're having this review at this
That's
time.
That's true.
So, and Carlton people, as in inside the club, you know, Martin Goodachay, David Teagues, beat at pains to tell us that he's welcoming the review. Well, he can't come out and say the alternative. Imagine if he'd come out and said, you know what, I hate this review. That'd be a nice headline, wouldn't it? But he's not going to do that. So it seems to me that Carlton people, fans and officials, they're going, okay, we need this review. While other people outside the club are saying, the timing's terrible, you're putting Teague under a lot of pressure, et cetera, et cetera. But I would have thought Teague was under pressure as it was.
Hmm.
Well,
I'm going to
call it.
Be touch and go. I'm calling this review the Sayers review. I don't think it's the Lejudiced review.
No,
I think
it's the new
president, and he's the guy who I think Carlton are hoping can be the saviour of in terms of leadership. But he has been on the board for a decade, so. It'd be interesting to see, but anyway, that win.
So no one knows really Luke Sayers just yet, right? What sort of man is he? Does he want to come in like a lot of people do and say, right, I'm going to deliver the big white knight coach? You know, I did say on 360, Jared, you've got more chance of coaching Carlton next year than Ross Lyon, because what I knew of Ross and man of principles, he wasn't going to go to Carlton when there's people at Carlton there who sacked Stephen Silvani, his great mate. But now I'm reading Ross Lyon, Carlton. And Footy Classified last Wednesday night, he had a really detailed review of where Carlton is. And I thought to myself, he's got his teeth right into this Carlton. The Carlton story at the moment. So watch his space. But what I do believe at Carlton, mate, I think they want to keep David Teague. They want to. They don't want to sack another coach. Oh, just keep going down in history. That's what Carlton do. They sack coaches. And I just don't know if they want to sack him. I think they want to just put people around him and get rid of all the assistants. And that's what I suspect would be happening. It would change drastically if it come out. But they like Kane Little. The club thinks Kane Little's a really, really good CEO. Do you agree with that? Have you heard that?
Yeah, but then I think there's people who think that he's got too many of his own sort of crew around him, the Keelor crew, wherever he's come from. And, you know, when clubs are, they point the fingers everywhere. But I am intrigued, though, that they're putting faith in these three outside people who, you know, who's to say they know what they're doing? You know, isn't that the board? Where's Chris Judd? He's the football director. I don't know. It's funny how
is Juddy still there?
I don't know. I think he's still on the board, but he's leaving, is what we're told. But look, we better move on. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about the Black Soul, Damien Barrett, the new president of the Australian Football Media Association.
Welcome back. The Black Soul, Mick. The Black Soul. Why is Damien Barrett the Black Soul?
Oh, that's what Luke Beveridge called him when he denied the Talia brothers story, took sides in the Talia brothers story, which history would now tell you was the wrong side. But, look, it's just interesting that not many people would actually know that there's an Australian Football Media Association.
And what does it do? We have an awards night at the end of the year.
I think that's it, isn't it? I don't think it ever actually stands up for any journalists who are getting kicked to death by HQ or, So, run an awards night.
It's not, certainly not a union. When I first started at the Herald Sun, it was the Football Writers Association. And every year, just the newspaper journos got together. And over time, it's incorporated the radio, the TV, now the online compartments. But last week they announced Barrett as the new president. Now it's easy for us to throw rocks on the outside because we're.
So who was the president?
Tony Shebeke was president.
Yeah.
I think Mike Sheehan was the president for a while. Caroline Wilson was the president for a while.
Thought it was interesting that he was made president when he said, even a couple of weeks ago that no one's ever walked past a journalist desk and said, can you follow up that John Ralph story? Or, if he's going to be the president of if he's going to be the leader, the captain, the spiritual soul of the Australian football media, he needs to park his cheap shots. And his hate of
for the Herald Sun
sections of the media, doesn't he?
No, that'd be me, you, Barrett. He put down Scotty Gallagher one day on his podcast as well.
Did he? What did he say about Scotlander? No one's ever had a bad word to say about Scotlander, apart from his current hairstyle he's rolling with.
Yeah, it's not the best with Scotty at the moment. It was about something. The score, and I think Barrett said that no, Scotty Gallen wouldn't write that. Scotty Gallen.
Oh,
that was probably a crack at you. But it is really interesting that the head of the media association takes great pride on slagging off other journos.
Would you think he would have looked at the job that Mark Stevens has taken as the head of the Victorian Liberal Party media unit? Your old mate, you would have worked with Steve-O for a long time. What's happened there?
No, I haven't spoken to Steve-O. He was at our place for 14 years, as you remember, and left there and went to Channel 7. And now he's off to the Liberal Party to run their media campaign. So good luck to Steve-O. He's been around for a long time. He's the veteran sports reporter. It'd be interesting if I was Channel 7. Well, I'll ask you. If I was head of Channel 7, and I had to headhunt someone to go to that role, I would go after John Ralph.
So no, you're getting rid of Ralphie, are you?
No, I don't want to get rid of Ralphie whatsoever. This is what annoys me about Barrett having to go at Ralphie. Ralphie's one of the hardest working people in Australian football media. He's phenomenal. He's head down, ass up. Ralphie, he's fantastic, and I'd hate to lose him. But
you want him to go?
No, I don't want him to go at all. But if I was running Channel 7, you got to find someone who's pretty good on camera. Ralphie works for Fox Footy. He does a lot of their news crosses. I just think Ralphie's really good at that job. I'd hate to see him leave. Hate it.
Tom Brown will be elevated to the captaincy there. For sure, absolute moral. But they will probably.
So they might go someone. Might go someone younger. You got anyone in mind?
No, but Sammy Landsberg or someone like that, sort of the up and comers. But yeah,
there's a lot of up and comers, young TV footy journos, male and female, at a lot of regional TV stations, yeah, who, you know, it might be time to bring in someone young, which happens a lot.
I would find TV very limiting. We can't tell a proper story in 1.5 minutes, in my view. But
the way you prattle on, you only got 90 seconds, mate, to do your story and move on. Oh, imagine how many takes. You should go for the job.
I don't think I'd get it somehow, having been sacked from Channel 7 before.
What have you been sacked from?
Every show I've ever done. I haven't been sacked from KFC TV yet, the highest ranking KFC online show in history. Couch got sacked from the couch and talking footy.
You got asked to not appear on the couch again. and you got asked not to appear on Talking Footy again.
Mm-hmm.
What else is there?
That's the only two.
So you could be a chance for.
No thanks. What about?
Hang let's on, talk you're really about... you're really in constant in constant 3AW with.
Yeah.
With Shorey and KV on a Sunday afternoon, how's it like? What's it like working with those two?
Oh, I love it. Just great people in Richo who don't take themselves too seriously and don't throw mud. Maybe they should be the head of the AFMA. Now, what about
Shorey, the joke you're running with Shorey and Jeff Brown?
Jeff Brown, do you like that?
Yeah, so Jeff Brown rang Tony Shaw last week.
Did
Tony Shaw say that?
I can't remember who called who, but Jeff just wanted to talk to Shorey because Shorey's been pretty outspoken about he doesn't want his club to be destabilised. Having said that, isn't it interesting that it's just gone to sleep at Collingwood since the Buckley decision?
Yeah, it's been that's a really good point. A really good point. I mean, Collingwood have lost Eddie Maguire and Nathan Buckley, two of the biggest names in the history of Collingwood.
Mm.
And Robert Harvey's taken over. Corder's gone to ground a little bit. Jeff Brown's gone to ground a little bit. So there's a real sort of lull at Pyland.
It'll probably get resolved after the season, I would say now.
Yeah, do you reckon Robert Harvey's a chance to get the Collingwood job?
No chance.
Why do you say that?
Because that's just my opinion, that they would go for a big figure or someone with a bit more charisma. Is that a harsh comment? I just think he's going to be there and hopefully get some of these kids, you know, a bit of a look, but it's a bit of a lull for Collingwood. I don't know. What do you think he is?
I don't know. It's really interesting. Everyone's now saying, you know, Sam Mitchell is a really strong candidate for Collingwood. It makes me think, why would Sam Mitchell be a better coach than Nathan Buckley?
Well, he wouldn't be, but at the moment. But Hawthorn were pretty good on the weekend, weren't they? The naysayers of Hawthorn, I think, are going to get some egg on their face pretty soon.
Yeah, Well, we wrote about the emerging Hawthorn defence about 6-8 weeks ago. And now a lot of people are talking about the emerging Hawthorn defence. And you know, Will Day.
Oh,
he's a super young player.
Isn't he?
A super, super young player. Giath is in defence, got simply come back. Scrimmage was playing the best footy of his career. And the number one, their first round draft pick, who played his first game on the weekend, he looked unbelievably settled for his first game. He's a big lump of a kid. His name's come on, Mick.
Barras. Denver Barras.
Yeah, Granger Barras. He looked so accomplished, tough. Went for his marks. It was a real shame to see him get injured and go off the ground with concussion, but my God, it looked good.
It brought the silk on, and he plays his 400th game this week. And, you know, as Kevin Bartlett used to say, he used to hold the 400 club meetings in a telephone box with he and Michael Tuck. Amen. And now you've got Boomer, Fletch, KB Tucky, and Silk going to 400.
Another 400 gamer.
There won't be.
I don't think there will be.
Oh, Martin will play 400.
How many is he back to Richmond? You Richmond people.
Well, he's played
260, 255.
Yeah, maybe a bit more than that. I'll Google it while we're on the line. But
so he's just turned 30. So he's got to play for another 6 years. It's 36. Well,
is not being injured. You know, he's missed like 7 or 8 games in his career or something.
Yeah. Well, Richmond played finals. You know,
257.
So he's got 143 to go, which is at least 6, probably 7 seasons, and he's 30. Will Dustin Martin be still playing at 36, 37? Anyway, I hope so. it's like watching. I don't know if you watched the Port Adelaide Sydney game on the weekend.
Yeah, of course.
It was a cracking game.
It was.
It was hard. It was tough. Thought Sydney had them, and Port, you know, really showed some mettle there at the end and got up. But to watch Franklin that last quarter, it was just watching greatness. You know, we know he's got these incredible skills, but he really willed himself. That rundown tackle on Tom Jonas, that was just fantastic, absolutely fantastic. So we can still see Buddy doing that in 34. He's got another year to go next year, Bud.
But what a pickup Burgoyne was. You know, remember Chris Pelchin? He was on crutches. They were saying his knee's no good. And that was about 20 years ago, 2008.
Long time ago. I can still remember when sharking Brendan Lade's tap-outs. He was a clearance specialist on the burst. He's been a phenomenal player. The standing of Sean Burgoyne was underlined to me by Jordan Lewis on 360 one night. When Jordan, he's an assassin, when he was talking about Sean Burgoyne, he got really emotional on the TV show. And he started welling up when we're just talking about Sean Burgoyne and what's going to happen this week. When Clarkson, you know, sort of suggested that Hodgie go and suggested that, certainly Lewis to go and offered it to Roughhead and Roughhead stayed. They haven't been back to the football club, mate. Jordan Lewis hasn't been back to the football club. He actually went back for Ruffy's last game. But my understanding that Hodge, Lewis, and Ruffy, they're all going to be there.
Awesome.
In the rooms for Shawnee Burgoyne's 400.
Who are they playing?
You got the draw in front of you?
No, but whoever they're playing,
they're playing Port Adelaide, mate.
Of course they are. Well, that would just be so inspirational for all the young Hawthorn players to see those legends there. And the more we talk about it, the more I think that Clarkson's not going anywhere. And
Caroline Wilson is continually writing a bit each way. He's never more invested, Alistair Clarkson, and I believe that. I feel that. I listen to him talk. He talks about, you know, trust his history. He's always been really loyal. But Caroline keeps writing about this rift between Clarkson and Kennett. Do you think there's anything in that?
They're both big personalities, and I'm sure they've butted heads from time to time, but I would be staggered if Jeff Kennett was going to put himself above Clarkson in terms of, like, sacking him because they don't get along. So I think it's overblown, but, who knows what actually is going on down there. We've got to take a quick break, Robbo, and then we're going to come back and talk about
concussion.
Concussion.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
What did you make of Levi Greenwood's retirement on Monday because of concussion?
Oh, I thought it was just another nail in the coffin of this huge problem. We've got another player. You know, he's towards the end of his career. I don't know if he would have played next year, Greenwood. He'd only played 184, but he'd been injured a hell of a lot. Good player. Tough player, wasn't he, at North and at Collingwood. And he could shut down Dustin Martin, those sort of players. But, yeah, when you hear of another player pulling the pin for concussion symptoms, it just really worries you about – I don't know where it's all going, to be honest, but the walls are closing in.
Yeah.
As you said yesterday, what if that wasn't Levi Greenwood and it was Marcus Bontempelli or Dustin Martin?
So Dustin Martin came out Monday yesterday and said, oh, I'm retiring. I'm you know, fearful of my future. I've had a few concussions. The story would be the front page, back page. It would be concussion experts. It would be well-being experts. You know, our papers, we do, we'd probably run a 12-page wraparound.
Fife's spoken about his concussion concerns. You know, what if he got another massive hit and just said, that's it?
Yeah. So the story gets sort of beaten down a bit because no disrespect to Levi Greenwood, but it was only Levi Greenwood.
Yeah.
You know? You change the name and put a superstar in there, it'd be a much, much bigger story. So what we've got to treat it as a really big story anyway, that here's another player retiring. Now, there's been a couple of them. I mean, Venables at West Coast, it's a horrible story about him and his concussion problems. And the footage of him running back with the fly of the ball and just getting taken out by the oncoming pack. Have you seen it, Mick? My God.
Yeah.
The courage of him to go back. And we all applaud that. But for one moment of absolute courage, that's a big trade-off for having headaches and migraines for the next 18 months. That's too big of a trade-off. You know, if he turned around and went front and square, no one would have batted an eyelid. So, we had Liam Picken.
There's been dozens of them, literally. And there's been I don't know the exact number, but over 60 concussions this season. That's why the Zach Williams footage was, he's probably lucky to get a week, actually. And Tom Stewart might have been lucky to get away with a fine.
Yeah, you make a good point there. It was funny, I watched that game and I watched the fight, but I didn't see that incident. And when I watched it again last night, I thought, my God, he has to be suspended for that. You've done a lot of you've sat at the fence for AW around the grounds. What are you?
Boundary rider.
Boundary rider. Have you got who's president of the boundary
riders? Michael Roberts would be the
of course he would be. He's been here for two decades at Triple M.
You got to watch I've done it with him for about 10 years, right? And he's got a whole lot of rules. One is no kids allowed to sit near him. So if these poor little kids come down the fence and they want to see their heroes, he's like, nah, off you go. And he's very sort of dramatic. He likes to really create the moment, which is good. It's radio. You got to do that. But Good bloke. Actually.
He's a great fellow, Michael Roberts. But yeah Dipper would be honorary chairman.
Yeah, but look, then you've got your TV boundary riders. They don't
look at radio. Have you got your factions in the boundary riders?
You said to Richo and Lingy, you know, we're all boundary riders. They just look at you and say, come on, mate. I'm a boundary rider on TV. They wouldn't even.
isn't that funny? Jackie Reed, boundary rider.
Yes, she was the one who, of course, was there when Frankie was framed, the Carlton supporter who was completely maliciously accused of running across two bays of seats like a wild man.
Tim Hodges is a boundary rider for
Timmy Hodges. I do with Timmy now. And every Richmond game, he gets Jack Rewalt. What's going on with those two? Besties.
Love. Born from 360. They do the podcast Balls and Bumpers or Bumpers with Balls.
They're petrol heads.
Got him at Auckland.
Yeah, I'm not a petrol head. Are you? I've never
been. Oh, I used to be. Are you jealous when Timmy and Jack sidle up to each
other? I just say, look, is there any danger 1 week we could speak to Jack Rewalt? You got like a monopoly on this bloke, have you?
Oh, isn't that funny? Well, anyway, my point was going to be, you sit right there on the fence for 3AW boundary riding. Have you ever walked onto the ground and walked on that carpeted area?
Yeah.
How hard is it?
It's harder than the grass. It's harder than the grass.
Yeah, I know that, but what is underneath it?
Yeah, well, there would be. It's got a bit of padding under that. It's like a mod grass tennis court, really. Maybe a bit softer than that. But, yeah, you wouldn't want to hit your head on it, that's for sure. But I don't think Zach Williams knew that it was there, by the way. Anyway, he's got a week off.
Only Zach Williams can answer that. Did you think Tom Stewart was lucky?
No, I didn't. No.
I thought he was extremely undisciplined.
Oh, yeah, but geez, he's a good player.
he's a good player, but a lot of Geelong's good players didn't sniff it on. That's a long time ago, last Thursday night.
Have you noticed on Twitter how people are getting really jacked off that every time Tom Stewart is mentioned, they talk about how Matthew Scarlett recruited him from South Barwon or something?
No, I don't. I'm not on Twitter.
Oh, you're not on Twitter, yeah. No wonder you're in such a good headspace.
Yeah, I've been in a good space for quite some time, actually. you just don't wake up to the abuse every day, mate.
No, that's right.
That's all. I mean, after a while, people say, come on, it's water off a duck's back, and it may be. But there's no water off the duck's back, but there's no duck's back anymore, Mick. I don't have to worry about anything like that. So I miss sort of that. That sort of gut-churning, bloody boring discussions on Twitter. Some of them are interesting and some of them aren't. But
so you're not on there secretly as an observer without a...
I have not looked at Twitter since November. Where are we now? June, July, August, June.
Yep. Mm. Well, on that
I haven't looked at it once. What am I missing?
Not much at all. But I think we should go and come back next week.
Go get another COVID test, can you? I'm a bit worried even though I'm doing this.
I think I've come good during this show, actually. I'm going to go and get a hot soup. Chat to you soon.
See you, Chief.